Something for the weekend. It is Ireland's Classic Hits. Trina Mari here, and on the line, Edwina Shine. Morning, Edwina. How are you?
Hi, Trina. How are you?
I'm great. I find it weird calling you Edwina Shine. We were in college together, so I know you by your maiden name, but Shine is the married name.
It is, I know, yes. Yeah. It's been a long time.
So listen, I want to talk to you today. I know you teach music, and I want to talk to you today about kids who may have a bit of musical ability and parents who are thinking about maybe doing something about it. So first of all, if you think your child has any sort of musical ability, what would you say is the best age to get them started doing lessons?
Well, to be honest, there's no age, but like I'm a piano teacher mainly, but I also do mum and baby, mum and toddler music classes as well. So literally babies from 3 months old can be starting to get engaged in music, and you know, they're not exactly learning a whole lot, but they're, you know, learning about beats and learning about different instruments and experiencing music, I suppose, is really good. And they love it. They get so much from it. So that's obviously, the babies is a whole different thing. But generally for learning an instrument, I would usually say around age 6 is a good age to start for a few reasons. One, they need to be able to sit, well, pretty much sit for a half hour music lesson. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that for younger than 6 year olds, generally that'd be a bit of a struggle, depending on the child, you know. But then younger than that, even there are like this pre-instrumental music classes that a lot of music schools and academies would do, where like that they learn a little bit about music and rhythms and different instruments and things like that. And that can be a great introduction if your child is kind of preschool or just, you know, maybe junior infant age, and you'd like to dip their toes in the water and see. That can be a great way of doing it without committing to an actual instrument.
Okay, yeah, now that was my next question, committing to an instrument. How do you know which one to pick? Because, I mean, there's such a variety. I'll never forget when I was growing up, I had a friend on the road who was learning violin, and the violin in the hands of a learner, oh my God, it can sound horrible. So how do you choose the right instrument for a child?
Well, yeah, and I learned violin when I was younger as well. It wasn't pleasant for my family in the early days. I got better though, thankfully. But yeah, I always think, like, I'm a piano teacher, so I'm a little bit biased, but also piano is a great starter instrument. One, as long as the instrument itself is nicely tuned and maintained, it can sound lovely no matter what, you know, such as that. But also it's kind of, it's a great starter for learning to read music and learning to play, and the child or the student, whatever age they are, kind of gets a sense of accomplishment, I think, kind of early on. Mm-hmm. And that's encouraging then as well. Whereas going straight into, like, say, violin as a first instrument, I think is very, like, violin's a hard, it's a difficult instrument to learn, you know. So I think always piano is a great starter. A lot of children especially start with guitar as well. That's a great starter one. So I would generally go with something like piano or guitar as a starter instrument. And then, you know, like I started piano when I was 6, and then a couple of years later, I went to my mum and said, I'd love to learn violin. So then, you know, as a child getting into music and learning an instrument, then they might move on to learning something a bit trickier.
And would you need to have a piano at home then for the child to practice, or is that required?
Well, you definitely need to have some kind of instrument. I have had students, and you know, unbeknownst to me, they didn't have an instrument, so I always make sure I check now, and the progress just isn't really there, you know. You only get so much from a half hour lesson a week. The most progress is really done through the practice at home during the week, so you need to have something. Now there are some piano teachers who might say, no, you have to have a full, proper, lovely piano and all that. I don't mind a student having a keyboard to start off with, because it is a huge financial commitment, you know, and even space-wise, a piano.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have the space for a piano. And a keyboard, now, I wouldn't go for the kind of keyboard you can get in toy shops to start with, because they can be kind of counterproductive. They're not the right size. The keys are small. They don't sound very nice. So like a kind of a keyboard or a digital piano is even better. Fairly basic. You can get a decent one for a few hundred euro, which is still a bit of a commitment, I understand.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, I think the slightly better the instrument is, the more likely the child will be to enjoy it and you know, continue, I think. Yeah.
And I would imagine you'd able to pick up a second-hand, decent enough one anyway on the likes of adverts or those sites too.
Yeah, definitely, yeah, especially a digital piano. Now, just from my experience, I've helped people find pianos second-hand before. Generally, the second-hand real acoustic pianos that are out there aren't in great nick, and people often even are getting rid of them, giving them for free, you know, especially where they've had children, they've grown up, they've moved out, the piano's not being used. And if the piano hasn't been looked after, it can get to the stage where it's not going to sound great, even with tuning. So you do just have to be careful. But you can always get advice. Piano tuners are always great to talk to, great for giving advice and that kind of thing as well.
Is it pricey, Edwina, to get a piano tuned and to get it fixed up? Say if Granny had one that she wanted to give.
Yeah. Well, look, tuning isn't too bad. Tuning will be about 120 to 150 a year. Now, that's just for tuning. So if you've have a decent instrument and you've been maintaining it, I pay about 120 a year, so that's grand. But now then to kind of, if you have to get a lot, you can get piano serviced and restored, that could, I'd imagine go up to anything, you know, depending on the state of the piano. So yeah, you can kind of, like some states, there are some cases where a piano just isn't really recoverable. Or not worth recovering, you know.
Oh, God. You'd always think if you saw a free piano, God, I'm going to snap that up. Maybe don't. Think about it first.
Yeah.
So are things like, I always remember, are piano exams still a thing, Edwina?
Yeah, piano exams, absolutely. Yeah, piano exams are a huge thing with students in Ireland, especially. So there's different boards, like there's the Royal Irish Academy of Music or the Associated Board of Music, which is in England, some London School of Music. There's different exam boards. So yeah, it is a huge thing. Now, you don't have to do it. I think some people are put off learning piano or an instrument because they're like, oh, well, I don't have to do exams. I don't have to play in front of people. And you don't have to. You know, there might be some teachers who say, no, you have to do exams if you come to me. They just don't suit some people. Now, I do think they're great, though. I would encourage people to do them generally because they're a great focus to have. You know, students, whether it's a child or an adult, can have a real sense of accomplishment, kind of going up through the grades and getting your lovely certificates and, you know, your report and all that. So they can be great. And I would encourage people to do them generally, but like that, I wouldn't force, you know, some people will be terribly nervous. So they don't suit everybody, but they are. I do think they're great.
And can you tell then straight away when a child comes in if they have the ability or not? Because not everyone is going to be musical and it could be just being pushed into it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So you don't necessarily have to have a musical ability. And that's the great thing about learning piano. I know I keep just talking about piano. That's my area. But the great thing with piano is you don't necessarily have to have a natural ear for it, because like that's the piano, once it's in tune, you're not going to, you know, whereas violin or stringed instruments or wind instruments, you have to get the right note, you know, yourself. So you don't necessarily have to have musical ability from the off. It can be a great help. Definitely, I see some people who are just, they come to us more naturally and it seems easier for them. And some people do really struggle. So it's just about harder work. But it really, so much of it comes down to practice. It really does. And it just doesn't happen with the click of a finger. You know, as much as some people would like to think that, like anybody you see on stage, performers, professional musicians, they have put in hours and hours and hours of practice over the years. You know, it doesn't happen without it, unfortunately.
And would you say the kids then, all kids are totally different and they learn at different paces?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you could have twins, you know what I mean? And they could learn at completely different paces. It really depends. And I've had that awkward thing where I've had siblings before and the younger one is outpassing the older one, you know, it's just more natural for whatever reason or finds it easier. And that can get a bit awkward then because the older sibling kind of is can be left behind and that can be a bit awkward. So every single student is different and you have to adapt your teaching style to each person that comes in, each student. Like you wouldn't know straight away, you know, if a child's going to be great or not. Sometimes you do, but everyone's different and they all learn at different paces, really.
And then just to finish up, Edwina, I suppose the question is keeping kids interested in it, because they do tend to say, oh, I want to do piano this week, and then in 2 weeks time I want to do horse riding, then I want to be an Irish dancer. How do you keep the interest there that they keep it up?
Yeah. Well, I think that comes really, and that's where I think it's great if the parent and the teacher has good relationships and they get on well and they communicate, so that the teacher is told, oh, listen, they're really not enjoying what they're doing or the practice or whatever. And then you can give tips or go, okay, well, let's, as well as the exam pieces, say if they're not really particularly enjoying that, you can say, okay, well, as well as the exam pieces, as long as you're doing your practice on those, we'll also learn a song or a piece you want to learn. So I do try and mix up that as well, that they're not just doing the scales, which people find boring, or the, you know, tutor books or the exam pieces, that you kind of mix it up a little bit. So I think where the, like that, that's where the parents and the teachers kind of chatting about that and being told, that can really help. And also, again, it does come down to the practice, whereas if they're not practicing, they're not progressing, and then they kind of feel, oh, I don't want to do this, I'm not getting any better, and it's been a vicious circle then, you know.
Okay.
But there's just so many benefits to learning music and learning an instrument. It's just, I don't think anybody would advise anyone not to do it, you know.
I had a girl on the show there last year, and she was in an orchestra, and she was saying when she was 4 or 5 and her parents pushed her to learn an instrument, and she is really pushing everyone to do the same, saying she's so thankful now that they did that. And now she has these amazing skills, you know.
Absolutely. And listen, I remember when I was little, I remember my mum chasing me up the stairs to the piano, but you have to do your practice. There was days I just didn't want to do it, you know. My friends were outside playing and I'd sit and do my practice. But like that, I'm so, so grateful now. And like that, then I went on to play violin and viola and played in youth orchestras and absolutely loved it. Just loved it. You know,
a great hobby, even if it's not the career you're going to go into, it's a lovely thing to have as well.
Absolutely. And listen, sure, we were in college together. All my way through college, I was studying radio and broadcasting, so it's completely different. I always had some students, so it paved my way through college as well. It was great. You know, and even now, especially now at the moment with the COVID and the pandemic, it's fantastic for people. People are going back to instruments. Adults, even, they're going back to an instrument they learned as a kid. It's a great stress reliever, you know. And like that, when I was in college working hard, sitting down at the piano and just playing for enjoyment, I loved it, you know. So there's just so many benefits to it, really. And I know it can be costly. I do get that, absolutely, learning an instrument, but I think it's so worth it.
We focus there on kids learning, so do you think that an adult could still pick it up then?
Absolutely, it's never too late. I have a few adult students. The adults aren't as great as sticking with us, I have to say. I've had some adults come and they do tend to drop out, but that's often because they're busy and they've jobs and they've kids and, you know, other commitments. But I have a few mums who come to me and they're like, no, I'm doing this for me, this is my thing, and, you know, I'm gonna stick with it and do that. I had a 65-year-old man come to me a couple of years ago, like that, had done a bit, taught himself a little bit, but wanted some guidance and all that. So yeah, never too late. There's no reason not to do it, except for cost, I know. But, you know.
But you're doing online classes and everything, aren't you?
Yeah, well, like that. Listen, sure, last March, suddenly we were thrown into the world of online. There are some music teachers who just teach online all the time, have always done it. So they were actually a great help on, you know, I'm on different online forums and Facebook groups for piano teachers, and have to say a lot of them were really helpful at giving advice. Suddenly people like me who had never done online lessons, they were great with helping with technology and all of that kind of thing. So it was definitely, I was thrown into the deep end, as were so many back in March, but it's actually worked out really, really well. And I thought, I feel so lucky that I can keep working. And like that, I'm lucky my family's, the parents and students have been fantastic as well as adapting to it. I don't think I have anybody who said, no, we're just going to leave it, we don't want to do it, you know. And I think it's worked out. It's not ideal. In person is always great, and, you know, I think it's easier for the kids as well generally, but it's definitely great that we have it as a second option, you know, to do the online lesson.
I guess they didn't want to leave a whole year in between having a lesson, because then the interest would go, or they'd forget what they'd learned.
Yeah.
So you need to kind of keep going with this. Edwina, give yourself a plug there. How can we contact you?
So I live in Wicklow Town. So my Facebook page is Wicklow Town Piano. And then, like I said, I'd also do mum and baby and toddler music classes, which I was doing online. I put them aside for now, but I'm going to be starting them up again. So that's Musical Maestros Wicklow. Get in touch with me if you want to sign up for those.
Okay, super. Great to catch up after all these years of doing
Thanks so much. Yeah, you too, Tina. Thanks so much.
Cheers.
Thanks a million.
This is something for the weekend. It's Classic Hits.